Our first split sermon, we have Mr. Chris Rochelle.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm already doing well. I didn't say good morning. Welcome to any guests and visitors. It's funny that when you've grown up in morning church, it's just hard to get over that. But it's a beautiful and glorious Sabbath day. It's nice and cool in here. We're all gathered together to do what God commanded us today. So blessing, glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, and power, and praise be to God's holy name forever and ever. I like to memorize certain passages of Scripture like that that speak to me personally and that are lyrical and sound beautiful because, you know, that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be emulating God, emulating Christ, emulating those whose words were captured for us in the Word of God. And brethren, I wonder, as Mr. Fauché called my name today, you noticed how I sought this podium. I walked here with purpose. I strove. I pressed on. I reached forward until I came to this podium to do this sermon here today. Today I want to talk about Christian action words, C-A-W. More specifically, a single Christian action word. Now, what is that, you ask? They're basically action words that you might use every day, but in the terms of our Christian walk and in terms of our following Jesus Christ, our Savior, and doing and becoming like God who is perfect, something that in reference to this scripture is important for us as Christians. So here are some examples. And I'm not going to turn to these, but I'll make some reference to Scripture here. The first is seek. Isaiah 55 and verse 6 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him." So there are two Christian action words, seek, call. Another one in Ephesians 4 says to walk. I've spoke specifically about this Scripture before. "Brethren, walk in a manner worthy of your calling, which you have been called to." Walk in a manner, as some translations say, a manner worthy of your Christian calling. 1 Corinthians 9, Paul talks about running a race. He says, "Know you all that they which run a race all run, but one receives the prize," and he encourages us, "Run so that you may receive the prize." Now, brethren, our Christian walk or run is a marathon, is it not? It starts on the day that you're called, and it ends on the day that you close your eyes in faith to God, or you are called at the glorious day of Christ's return, right? It's a marathon. Run. We hear about in Philippians, we hear Paul talk about striving, pressing on, reaching forward. I've heard people say that that's a Roman charioteer's term about reaching for the prize and urging their chariot forward. The ultimate Christian action word, brethren, is what I plan to talk about today. Today, we will think on the things that Paul instructed us on how to do in word and example in Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And if you turn there, you can put your Bible's ribbon in that spot because we'll mainly focus on that scripture, those two scriptures today, and discuss the Christian action word of the day, do. D-O, do. You'll see what I'm talking about in a moment. So if you're looking for a title to the sermon, let's call it These Do. These Do. Now let's read Philippians 4 verses 8 and 9. Go there in our Bibles. It says there, and this is a very familiar scripture to all of us, familiar enough that we should probably read it and study it more often so that it's not familiar, but that it's internal. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So in all of this discussion about whatsoever things that we should be thinking on, Paul says that we have to do them. And he says, as you learned from me, received from me, heard from me and others, and seen me do, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now we read and understand that Paul was taught himself directly by Jesus Christ, the same Christ who said in John 14, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And in Matthew 5, where he encouraged the disciples, and through that example us today, where he said, to be you perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, perfect there is the Greek teleos. It means complete, mature, of full age. As the word perfect in itself goes, we recognize that that's a pretty tall order, is it not, in reference to the things that we are to do. So those who can, I used to make fun of myself because I was a teacher and a trainer at my company, we'd say, those who can do, and those who can't, in deference to the teachers in the crowd. I won't finish the quote, but funny stuff there. Now, Paul, as we said, was taught directly by Christ, who said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, to be perfect. So let's talk about and think on these things in Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9. And speaking of doing, let's do what I always do. That is, consult the Greek and talk about that single word, D-O, do. In Strong's, number 4238, it's prasso, P-R-A-S-S-O. And it means to commit or to do or perform, a primary verb that means basically to practice, to perform repeatedly or habitually. So there's an interesting twist on that word. It's not something that you do one time. It's something that you do habitually, something that you practice. And of course, part of our Christian walk and part of the things that we do and the Christian action words that we put into place in our lives every day is a habit, is something that we practice, is something that God through the Holy Spirit has given us to continue to build upon. So that primary verb differs from the very close Greek word poeo, which refers to simply a single act, you know, to move that speaker. I could do that, or I could do the things in Philippians, which means that I do them continuously. I practice them as a way of life and part of who I am inside. It's a by implication means to execute or to accomplish, or especially to commit deeds, that sort of thing. So that's the word that we're talking about today as our Christian action word. We're going to think on the things that Paul instructed us how to do and discuss that Christian action word, do, as we move along today. Now, what is it and why is it so hard for us, let's bring it down a little bit, for me to do the right thing? It's an easy answer in that, as we all understand, while God created us in his own image, he gave us the free will to choose and decide what we were going to do. So we can conclude that it's by choice that man, or that I, or that you make most of our decisions and turn those into our actions. On one hand, there's the choice to do the easy thing, the convenient thing, the popular thing, the tempting thing, the thing that seems right unto a man because of the nature and because of who we are. But that almost always results, does it not, in a poor choice. And we recognize that through repeatedly falling and getting up and dusting ourselves off and striving and running and pressing on toward the high calling of God and Jesus Christ. Like Paul said so so eloquently. On the other hand, the choice to do what is right, to do what is godly, to do what's scriptural, to do what's tough, to do what's not convenient, and to do what's not popular can almost always result in a good choice. But it's often the answer that requires the more difficult path, our Christian answer or our Christian action word to do. Now, when we read through, and I encourage you, read Philippians 4 if, you know, later on you are perusing through your notes, because a lot of the action words that I mentioned today come from the book of Philippians, very rich in Paul telling those folks, the Philippians who he loved very much and who he considered his friends, how to live in a Christian way and practice a Christian walk. So Paul was thankful, if you read through Philippians, for his friends at the church of Philippi. He even said toward the very end that nobody's treated me like you guys have. You've sent me help and sent me needful things, even when I was down in Thessalonica and in different places, and they always were thinking of him and offering support to him while he was in prison. And though he was undergoing a bunch of tough circumstances, he wrote a powerful and positive letter of thankfulness to them and to encourage them to put into action those godly things that they had recently experienced when he had visited with them. His words to the Philippians ring true today. They are God's words because they were inspired by him and written in the Word of God and inspired by God himself. Many of the Christian action words I've mentioned earlier are found here in the book of Philippians, like I mentioned before. Now let's talk about thinking on Philippians 4 verses 8 through 9 and break down these two verses a little bit in discovering the full meaning of his advice in those. Now, you know, in my freshman year of Ambassador College in 1986, it would have been probably October, maybe November. We got a big long list of scriptures that were memory scriptures. This was one of them. I remembered it by, let me see if I can remember it. I remembered it by a little trick of words. It says, I used to say, it's true, honest, she's just pure lovely. And then I would remember of good report, virtue, and praiseworthy after that, just to kind of get me started. But, you know, whatever trick works for you, this is a great memory scripture. I was thinking about girls when I thought about that. Maybe that's not the best example. That was 26 years ago. 26 years ago. I've grown just a little bit since then. Now, so we're thinking on these things. In the context of these verses, each of these words describe an attribute, brethren, of Jesus Christ, an attribute of the one whom we are dedicated followers of whose name we were baptized into the church of God under, of whom we emulate and who we strive to be like, along with God the Father, who He reflected perfectly through his life, giving himself a perfect sacrifice at the end of his ministry. Amazing. We as followers are to emulate, as children created in his name, these things. So let's talk about them. Whatsoever things are true, true as to a fact, brethren, true and in accordance with God's words, not man's perverted and selfish view of what is true, because what's true to a man is what can be spun out in the media these days, right? What's true to a man is what he can prove in a court of law or can't prove in a court of law. That's a perverted and selfish view of what is true. God is the final test of what is true and right, and certainly Jesus Christ told us, I am the truth. So we've got a perfect example of truth in that regard. Now let's talk about whatsoever things are honest. Whatsoever things are honest. Scouts honor, right? That's supposed to be about honor in an organization that I believe has done a lot of good for young men in our nation. Whatsoever things are honest. The focus is on what's right in God's sight, brethren. Honest based on God's honesty. not on man's honesty. It's almost like the truth in reference to man. It's not situational or clouded by situational ethics or convenient, an honesty that's convenience. It is God's honesty, honesty based on God and God's way of life and the example of Jesus Christ and the disciples and everyone who's listed in this book among the faithful. Let's refer to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 21, where it says in part, not only, and speaking of honesty, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of man. So honesty is honesty through and pure and clear. Now let's talk about whatsoever things are just. That which is altogether just shalt thou follow. That's a quote from Deuteronomy 16 and verse 20. Just here is defined by God, who wants what's best for man. Man's justice, again, is often perverted by our desire for vengeance or getting even or what's fair. Sick of hearing about what's fair. Life's not fair. That's an editorial, by the way. So, but anyway, you know, God sets the standard, brethren, for us in reference to what is just. And speaking of Christian action words, let's talk about a verse that we know very well that talks of justice in Micah 6 and verse 8. I try to daily quote this scripture to myself in my head as I'm faced with a decision on how to react. Micah 6 verse 8 tells us, of course, he's shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? Now, your ears better perk up when you hear something like that. What does the Lord require you? Colon. Here's the answer. The answer is, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. To do justice, in a lot of translations, it says to love kindness. Kindness and mercy are hand in hand. Similarly translated, and to walk humbly before your God. So that's when we talk about whatsoever things are just, there is the litmus by which to compare justice to, brethren. Now, on to whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are pure, that is things that are not tainted with foreign matter. Remember, we're compared to the refinement of gold. Gold as a metal has some impurities. It's heated until it's completely liquid and the impurities float to the top and they're skimmed away. That's the kind of pureness that we're talking about. We are tested in the refiner's fire, the scripture tells us, so that we won't be tainted with foreign matter, with foreign objects, so that we are the highest in quality that we can absolutely be and that we are unadulterated, refined, holy. That's what being pure is talking about. James 3 verse 17 tells us that wisdom that is from above, James 3 and verse 17, wisdom that is from above is first pure. Wisdom from above is pure. So that's one of the things that Paul has encouraged us to think on these things. And referencing all of them, we can say that they are definitely attributes and definitely traits of Jesus Christ, whom we are, as you know, I've talked about before, to put on as a garment. Put on. Now let's talk about whatsoever things are lovely. Lovely. The way I memorized Philippians 4:8. Maybe that's what I thought lovely was back then. You know, lovely was a lovely young lady, right? And I believe that there are lots of lovely ladies here, but that's not the kind of lovely we're talking about. What we're talking about is pleasing, agreeable, attractive. In this context of Philippians 4 and verse 9, pure and attractive, as in Jesus Christ, is lovely. The root of the word is love or charity, which we read about in 1 Corinthians 13. Often, again, you know, I like to go to 1 Corinthians 13 and insert my name in there if I'm testing on what is lovely, you know, and comparing myself to the charity that spoke of there in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's do that a little bit, because it's a good, I believe that it's good practice for me. Perhaps it'll help you. That's what I always say. I'm talking to myself up here, you guys. Listen in. If you find anything that's helpful, please feel free to utilize it. 1 Corinthians has disappeared in my Bible. I don't have it printed, so you know that I'm rogue now. I'm off my notes. Heaven help us all. Verse 13, where in 4 it speaks of love. Now this is something that that is helpful for me to compare myself to this standard, one of the greatest gifts of God and of the Spirit, that is love, where it says love suffers long and is kind. It doesn't envy, doesn't parade itself, is not puffed up. What I'll do is put my name in there. Chris suffers long and is kind. Chris does not envy. Chris does not parade himself. Chris is not puffed up. You see the point there? Now, none of those things in themselves, you know, some of those things are true every once in a while. They're not true by any means, but it's certainly a good sounding post for myself. Stephanie just gave me the raised eyebrow, you see. That'll tell you how good I'm doing. What is pleasing, agreeable, attractive, and lovely? Lovely means much more, brethren, than good looks. It means much more than these lovely flowers or those lovely ladies or these lovely, comfortable shoes, whatever. It means and encompasses the idea of long-suffering, of kindness, of mercy, of unselfishness, of wanting the best for the one who is the object of affection. This type of love, as we read in 1 Corinthians 13, never fails, is full of hope, endures until the end. Whatsoever things are lovely, brethren, think on those. That's what Paul said to do. Now let's talk about whatsoever things are of good report. That speaks well of someone, a deserved reputation. And that's something, by the way, that you have to work on. There's another Christian action word for you. You have to work on a reputation of good report. Now, remember reading back in Samuel 2 where Eli, you know, found out about some of the horrible things that his two sons, who were also priests, were doing in the land of Israel. He told them, sons, this is not a good report. Not a good report. And he was very very disappointed and very upset with them. He said, you know, if you sin against man, you can overcome that. But if you sin against God, he told them, who can intercede for you? You're sunk. You're a sunk ship. You're a cooked goose. And that's, of course, what happened to his two sons who were offering profane fire to the Lord. So definitely not a good report or a good example of a bad report. God alone is good, brethren. Certainly as we reflect him, we can be of good report in our own lives. Now, let's talk about whatsoever things are of virtue. Virtue is excellence. Virtue is excellence as in moral virtue. What else needs to be said about that? Whatsoever things are virtuous. And lastly, whatsoever things are praiseworthy. Praiseworthy. I always feel like when we sing psalms at the beginning, middle, and end of church, that we are not in a place or in a position, you know, for settling down the crowd and whatnot. We are in the presence of the Almighty God, singing praises to his holy name. That's why I try to be excited about that. And we should all be excited about that. But praise is not, brethren, the praise of men. Praise is the absolute adoration of God and of Jesus Christ and of the appreciation for his amazing plan for us and our calling to that special family as first fruits and as a front row participants in what's going to happen for the rest of eternity with God and Jesus Christ at his right hand, and hopefully, brethren, you and me helping him to build that amazing and awesome world that we are all seeking, another Christian action word, seeking the kingdom of God and its righteousness. That's what it's all about. But praise, Isaiah 38 and 19 says, the living, they praise you as I am doing today. Parents, tell your children about your faithfulness. There's a couple of other scriptures that speak of that in reference to not the praise of men, but the praise of God. So write these down. I won't turn there now. Psalms 22 and 25, Romans 2 and 29, and John 12 and 43. All of these speaking to praise to God. Now, Paul at the end of verse 9 says, these things which you have both learned, acquired by experience, read, otherwise observed, received, incorporated into yourself or received into your mind, heard, obviously by situations like this where one person has an opportunity to expound on the Word of God and we're an audience listening to those, or seen. Now, I think that's the most important one. We've all heard that actions speak louder than words, right? So as we've seen, and he was saying, as you've seen me do these things, of course, Paul himself saw Christ do these things. The disciples were firsthand witnesses of that amazing ministry of Jesus Christ, all of the miracles, and they were excited about the opportunity to have received and heard and seen all those things. And let's read the entirety of verse 9 in Philippians 4 again. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace will be with you. He says, do these things. Think on these things. These are action words as a Christian, brethren, that we have to put into practice. Remember, the word do is by making them a practice in our lives, making them a habit of things that we do daily, making them, incorporating them as a part of who we are and part of the putting on of the cloak of Jesus Christ and the Christian mantle of faith. And finally, our Christian action word of the day, do. We just talked about that one. To act with the mind of Christ in you. Let this mind be in you. That was in the one anointed of God, Jesus Christ, who said, be like me because I'm like the Father and I reflect him. Now, in Philippians 4, verses 8 through 9, certainly a familiar scripture. We've tripped through there today, thinking on those things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, praiseworthy in all things. And hopefully, brethren, we've recognized that by the example of men who preach the word to us, of people that we've seen our life long practicing and doing the will and the work of God and of Jesus Christ, we can understand that doing these things are part of our Christian walk and activity daily. To do these things, Paul's focus isn't on the flesh at all. The focus is on Jesus Christ and Christians, us, emulating Jesus Christ through our actions. That means our actions to one another, our interactions when we talk with people and walk with people that aren't of our faith, but who have the potential of being sons and daughters of God just like we do. Christ put God's word into action in every aspect of his life, and that is what Paul speaks of in Philippians 4 through 8 here and admonishes us to do. So let's talk about and think about and address all of these things that are true, just, honest, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy as we rise, as we walk down the way, as we sit and stand, as we eat, as we open our eyes and close our eyes every day. That's a very, very, very loose quotation of the Shema in Deuteronomy 6, pardon me. That's also not in my notes, but the point is that, brethren, we're enveloping ourselves with these Christian action words and doing these things as Paul has made it there, has so eloquently told us to think on them as attributes of Jesus Christ. So how do we stack up with what's described in this package? I know the answer for myself. You guys think of the answer for you. What kind of things do we think about? What kind of actions do I regularly do that are descriptive or reflective of Philippians 4 verses 8 through 9? Do these things and the God of peace shall be with you. Are my choices based on doing what's right in the sight of God? That's something that we can ask ourselves daily. And like Micah 6 and 8 says, and what I try to do daily, is it justice? Is it merciful? Am I walking humbly before God? And I like a simple verse like that that tells me what to do, because it concretes all of this stuff together and tells me that this is the way, and walk in it. So today we were going to talk about thinking on the things that Paul instructed us how to do in word and example for Philippians 4 through 8, and discuss the Christian action word of the day, to do. The words of Paul provide the perfect close to this talk, brethren, as we learn to think or program our minds by consistently recalling these attributes, and to do these very things, to act with the mind of Christ in us and practice continually doing, with the idea of getting better at it over time, to perfect and to exercise, then we can, and Paul's words provide us the perfect close to this sermon today in Philippians 4 verses 12 and 13, just a few verses down. I know, Paul said, how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.